Chair, I've got serious network problem, so I'll close my video.
Oh, okay. You are not going to use the video.
Yes, because once I open it, then I can't hear you. I can't hear myself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. We.
Chair, Abomkhaya baseMpumalanga, they are boycotting this meeting today. Umwela, no pennies. I don't see them.
So they are conniving against us.
Yes, we'll moor them.
Hello, TM.
when we're still gossiping about the Mpumalanga cohort.
I'm here, I'm listening.
The Mpumalanga cohort is boycotting our meeting. And you enter just like that.
No, I was talking to Ulubaba. I've tried logging in past six. It says the host must start the meeting.
Yeah, but the host logged in on at 5:30 as well.
The host.
Babalo is supposed to be the host. Why is Babalo himself supposed to be the host? What is this thing of him not being a host? What's that, Lubabalo? Are you sabotaging us as well, like Mpumalanga people?
RPM, President.
Asking for a friend, I'm just asking for a friend. I can't.
Otherwise, I'll ask my friend Chetty to bail me out.
Hey, yo, Jesus.
Yeah, no. Chetty is my big brother.
Don't worry, my comrade, I'll bail you out. Don't worry about these cases and people making nonsense.
Yes.
We will connive as KZN Peter Maritzburg.
No, as the US delegation, not as KZN.
And that bringing Sane in that one in Mola.
Yeah.
Is it Salo? That's how we get the majority, by bringing in them on a common denominator.
Where is Lubabalo?
He's here.
Are we correct, Lubabalo?
Good afternoon, Chair. Evening, Chair.
Okay.
Yes, Chairperson, we are correct, Chair.
We are correcting, so.
Yes, I'm sure, Chairperson.
Okay. All right, honorable member, let me take this opportunity and welcome all of you to our meeting of the portfolio committee. Luwalo, you are going to do the flighting of the agenda. Honorable members, our meeting is correcting for the record. I see Deputy Minister Candace Masuko Dlamini is with us today. Also, she has joined our meeting. and the AG team is also here with us. Let me welcome all of you and the team International Relations Parliament also is with us here today, honorable members. Lubabalo, do we have apologies? Can you fly it or beam the agenda? Mr. Squid. Is he here? And is where is Mr. Squid? He's not here.
I will check on him now, Chair. He was here a few moments ago.
Do you have an agenda with you? Beam it if you have it.
No, ma'am, I don't have it.
Who else has an agenda? Dineo, do you have an agenda?
Mr. Chairperson, the agenda, Lubabalo has the agenda. Let me try and check, Chairperson.
What are you checking?
Whether I can share it on the screen.
Oh, okay. I'm going to try and enable share. Okay. Try and share it.
Okay, Chair.
Let's see what it says.
And Lubabalo is back, Chair.
Lubabalo is back where?
System.
Wait.
Online.
Lubabalo, Mr. Squela, why do you disappear like that?
There is a message, Chair, on my side says the host has disabled screen sharing, so I'm not able to share.
The host
disabled, yes, the screen sharing. So.
It must be Lubabalo. Can't be me. Lubabalo. Uphilo Lubabalo, Honorable Mwela, uthe ukhona apha. Where is
he? Was, he was here with his tie. Now.
How was? With what?
Unnivu tie wakhe today. He was here now.
Sabotage, Chair, sabotage.
Oh, that's more like he has Viveza.com. Nango, not. Ufiki, let's say Ufiki, not. He's within the people. I don't know what's happening here because the sharing is there in a boot. So I really don't know what's happening. Until Squela enters here, you will be able to share. I don't know. Do we all have the copy of the agenda? In the meeting? Do we all have the copy of the agenda?
We do, Chair.
I have, Chair.
The people of the AG and the Deputy Minister, do you all have the copy of the agenda?
We don't have it, Chair, on our side from the Auditor General.
You see, that's why it must be beamed. The agenda must be beamed. Lubabalo is nowhere to be found.
Good evening, Chair. I have the agenda.
Okay, DM, thank you very much. Okay, for the purpose of the AG's team, the agenda is as follows. Opening and welcoming, apologies, adoption of the agenda, briefing by the AG on the audit outcome of the Department of International Relations and Cooperation and the African Renaissance Fund for the 2019-2020 financial year, and then its closure, ilandelayo. Did we capture that? It captured. Can we move for the adoption of the agenda? I'm told Lubabalo has problems with the network. Honorable Mbanza, I see your hand is up.
Yes, Chair, I am moving for the adoption of the agenda.
Honorable Nkosi? Honorable Chesi?
Second, Chair.
Okay, seconded. Honorable members, we are holding this meeting today after the sad news our country is engulfed with on the passing on of the AG, Mr. Makwetu, and I'm sure we all saw that in the media. I want us to observe a moment of silence. I don't expect people to unmute when I say we observe a moment of silence. I'll be looking at all of you here. So can we please observe a moment of silence in honor of the AG? Thank you very much, honorable members. Honorable members, we are really saddened by the passing on of our AG. A very honest account of what is happening in our department is something that we saw during his tenure, ensuring that in their reporting, they also unmask a maladministration and also unmask all sorts of things that are not in line with transparency in government. Corrupt activities were spotted even without being blunt about them. But his contribution generally was so immense with his team, of course. We've seen him nurturing some of the younger people amongst the team. He was not always there. He was no power monger. That he wants to do everything himself, he delegated so that he built many personnel around the issue of auditing for our country. And we must commend him for that. And our hearts are with his family during these trying times. We send our condolences as a portfolio committee. We also lost a Palestinian chief negotiator, Dr. Erekat, who was an advocate for justice for the people of Palestine. He also passed on. So these giants were so remarkable. Both in our country, in society, and internationally, they were known to be people who are there. So that is called activism par excellence. So I want to welcome all of you to this portfolio committee, hoping that Team AG will be strong. We also appreciate the fact that you are here, even though might not be easy for you, because you work closely with Mr. Makwetu. So on that note, honorable members, I'm going to allow Mr. Skwela to present apologies to the meeting if he has managed to log. Is he here? And where is Mr. Skwela?
I am present, Chairperson.
Okay.
We have.
I'm also network. Kagela ilike ube inka ohlale phezu kwalo sifuna wena apha emithingini.
Hayi likhona ehlala.
Lo tayi buxelwa ngumwela lo siyambona. Okay. We see. Apologies.
My apologies. Today we have an apology from a minister. She's attending another meeting. And also, Honorable Bergman is also attending another meeting, Chair. Those are the only two apologies I received, Chairperson.
Okay. Honorable members, those are the two apologies which are registered, recorded, and submitted to our secretariat. Can we move for the adoption of the agenda? Well, we've adopted the agenda before Lubabalo, because Babalo was added about, isn't it? Not a member. Can we move for the adoption of the apologies and the agenda again? Am I alone here? Honorable Muela?
Honorable Chair, I propose that we move for both items, the adoption of the agenda and apologies. Thank you.
Okay, can we get a second, Honorable Nkosi?
Honorable Chair, I move for the adoption of both the agenda and the apologies in sequence.
Thank you very much. Without wasting time, Honorable Members, I'm going to give Team AG the platform to present or brief us on the outcomes for the department. Who is leading the team from the AG?
Good evening, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Thank you very much. My name is Polan Sokombela. I'm the Business Executive from the Auditor General's Office. And I'm the leader of this team. Honorable Chair, with your permission, I would like to introduce my team that is going to be helping me with this briefing. Mm-hmm. With me, Honorable Chair, I have Ms. Sangeeta Kallen, who is the Deputy Business Executive from the Auditor General's Office. And I have Mr. Thabiso Matladi, who is the senior manager from the Auditor General's Office. And I have Mr. Nicholas Mukwena, who is also the senior manager in the Auditor General's Office. Honorable Chair, on behalf of the Audit Office, I would like to thank you for the words of encouragement and for the words of comfort. We are still coming to terms with the loss of our leader who has passed away and surprised all of us. It has really been a very difficult day for us today. We are still very traumatized. Mr. Makwetu has played a very big role in society, in the country, in the international space, as well as personally. I am his product, myself. So getting the news that he is no more has really rattled us, and we really would like to apologize if today we are not as effective as we used to be, but we said we would not, would want to come here so that we can continue with this good work and showcase it, because that's what he was passionate about, auditing to build public confidence. With those words, Chairperson, as well as honorable members, I would like to thank you a lot. Honorable Chair, myself, I'm going to do the opening remarks and some few slides. I saw that there were some challenges as far as sharing of the slides of the documents. I'm not sure if that problem has been resolved, because we would like to share the presentation.
Lubabalo will deal with that thing of sharing.
Lubabalo, can we ask for your help to share our presentation, please?
Yes, my chief. I've given permission.
Okay, Tabiso, can you please share the presentation? All right. While Tabiso is sharing the presentation, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, it is really an honor for us to be sitting with you again today, after we have last met you last year. And at that time that we met you, the world was different to what it is today. And nobody has imagined that we would be having this meeting virtually today. And also coronavirus has disturbed all of us. But having said that, ourselves as well as the audit team, as well as the department, have worked very tirelessly to ensure that we perform this audit, we finish it, so that you can be able to come and table these outcomes here. After we've reported to you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, the audit outcomes last year, the department has embarked on a process of compiling an audit action plan to address the findings of last year, especially the qualification areas that we had. And we have worked very closely, especially with the Director General, the Chief Financial Officer, the Minister, as well as the Deputy Ministers, to ensure that we work very closely to ensure that the areas of concern from last year are addressed. But before I go to those specific areas, Chair, I think it's important that I share the reputation promise of the Auditor General of South Africa, which states that we've got a constitutional mandate, and as a Supreme Audit Institution of South Africa, we exist to strengthen our country's democracy by enabling oversight, accountability, and governance in the public sector through auditing, thereby building public confidence. And Honorable Chair, our purpose today is to share with you the audit outcomes of DERCO and ARF, so that we can be able to assist you in your responsibilities to perform, to exercise oversight to both the department as well as ARF. If I can go to slide number 5, Honorable Chair. On slide number 5, I just want to emphasize again that as an audit office, our annual audits, they examine three areas, which is the first area is the financial statements, where we examine the fair presentation and the absence of significant misstatement in the financial statements. And the second area that we examine is the area of performance information, or the service delivery, if you can call it like that, where we examine whether that information has been reported in is reliable as well as credible. So that is a very important aspect. And the third area that we examine is an area of compliance with laws and regulations governing the financial affairs of the department. So I think that is a very important issue, and that is where this presentation is going to be touching at. It's going to be touching in all these three areas. If I can go to slide number 7, in slide number 7, that is where we are reflecting the legends or the colors that we are using here to demonstrate and to share the messages where you will say that where we've got an audit that is unqualified with no finding, or the one that is called clean audit, you will say it by the color that is green. And an audit opinion where we say it's unqualified but has got findings, you will say it with the color that is yellow. And also the one that is qualified with findings, it will have a purple color. I'm not going to go to other colors like adverse, disclaimer, and outstanding, because we don't have that category in this presentation. And where, because we are also comparing year on year, we will say that where there's a movement or there's an improvement from the prior years, we will show that by the arrow that is going up, which is improved. If it's unchanged, it's going to be yellow. And then if it's regressed, it's going to be red, and the arrow is going to be looking down. If I can go, Honorable Chair, to slide number 10. In slide number 10, Honorable Chair, as I have said that since we have reported to you last year the challenges that we had, you'll remember last year that we had some concerns where the department was qualified on cash and cash equivalents, where the department, we identified some differences between the cash book balance as well as the bank statements, where the reconciliations were not done, and we ended up qualifying the department. And also, we also had a challenge when it comes to the credibility of the fixed asset register and the assets, where assets could not be accounted for. And that was the qualification that we've been having for years at the department. And Honorable Chair, since last year, the department has worked very tirelessly to try and address these two qualification areas. And on the side of assets, they have managed to turn around the qualification on assets. They have worked very hard to ensure that the 100% physical verification of assets is done, and also where the errors are identified in terms of discrepancies between what is on the floor and what is on the asset register. Those discrepancies are investigated, and also then there was an isolation of responsibility in the sense that the director responsible for asset management was the one that was approving that the adjustment should be made in the financial statements. And it's important to mention, Chairperson, as well, that you will remember that we reported last year that the department has been using Excel to account for these assets, which was not an ideal system to utilize. And they have since procured a system also that is called NetTrace. And they have migrated then all the assets from the Excel version to the NetTrace. And there were very good controls that they've implemented there to ensure then that the data that is moved from the Excel to the NetTrace system is a valid, accurate, and complete information. And the internal audit has played a significant role in that process to ensure that they provide assurance. And they've performed computer-assisted audit techniques to ensure the credibility of the information. And where the errors are identified, then they will encourage management to follow up on those errors so that they can be corrected. And with that process, Chairperson, it made our job not to be very difficult. And I must say, COVID-19 as well has brought some challenges, because when the lockdown started in March, we have visited, I think, about half of the missions that we've selected for visit. And then the country was in a lockdown, the world was on a lockdown as well, and we had to think about the alternative ways of auditing. And fortunately then we appointed external audit firms, especially the audit firms that have got international footprint, to assist us with the verification of the assets in those countries. And the outcomes of our procedures, they revealed that the department has managed to address qualification. And I must caution and also state that in as much as the department has managed to address this issue of assets, we still have identified some findings on the assets. But those findings that we identified, they were below our materiality. So the department, in as much as we are commending the department for addressing this particular area, but then they need to tighten the internal controls more and ensure then that they continue with the good work and clean up this particular process, because we don't want to reverse it when we're coming back again in the following year. So I think it's important for us to specify that and to mention that particular issue. The issue of assets, of cash and cash equivalent servicing at the department, I think it's another issue. Stay in that slide, Tadi, so don't move. That slide is, thank you very much. The issue of cash and cash equivalents, you will remember last year we had some challenges where there were some reconciling items where the cash book as well as the bank balances in the bank statements, there was no reconciling items there. And also there was no source documents or supporting documents to support these differences. And as a result, then we qualified the department on cash and cash equivalents. And also, you will remember that we recommended to them as well to do an investigation in terms of what happened here so that this qualification can be addressed. In an effort for the department as well to try and address this qualification, the department initially approached us as an audit office to find out if we cannot perform an investigation. But after much consideration, we said, you know what, we don't think that we are the right people to investigate this, on the sense that this finding was identified by us in the first place, so it was going to create some sort of a conflict of interest on our side. We then suggested then to the Director General to say maybe appoint somebody else that is going to come with a fresh eyes and look at this issue properly. And then after that, then the department approached National Treasury to assist them. And indeed, National Treasury came back. They suggested to them that perhaps the amounts that you cannot confirm in the cash and cash equivalent account, you can reclassify them to an account that is called a disallowance account, which sits under receivable. Then in that effort, then the department did the reclassification. But little to know from National Treasury that these reconciling items in the cash and the cash equivalents, they were not supported by documentation. So then, in as much as then that reclassification was done, then they managed to address the qualification on cash and cash equivalents because we're satisfied now with what was left in the cash and cash equivalents. However, when we're following up now to what is sitting in that disallowance account as reclassified there, the department then managed to provide supporting documents for some of the transactions that were there. But for the majority of those transactions, they couldn't provide supporting evidence. And as a result, then we had a limitation of scope again on that account. Hence, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, you see a qualification again on the account of the department, because there's an amount of about 187 million in the current year where we could not get supporting documents in terms of where it's coming from. And also in the corresponding figures or in the prior year, I think the amount is about 140 million. So those are big amounts, and they are associated with cash and cash equivalents. So they are quite risky for us. Hence, then we expressed a qualified audit opinion, and we've actually recommended to the department to do more work and actually find out where these documents are, so that they can be able to clear this qualification, Honorable Chair. So that is the state of affairs as far as the qualification areas in the prior year, Chairperson. As you can see, the financial accounts for the ARF, it has sustained the clean audit status, or the unqualified audit opinion with no findings for the second year in a row, and we commend management for sustaining the best practices there to ensure that ARF maintains the clean audit outcome. I'm going to stop there, Chairperson, on my side, and Tabiso, is with your permission, can take over the presentation from slide number 14, Chairperson. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sakombela. Good evening, honorable members. Good evening, honorable chair. I will start from slide number 14. So on slide number 14, we're talking about credible financial reporting. So as the lockdown came with a lot of delay, so there wasn't a approval for extension by the Minister of Finance for submission of the financial statements. Usually we receive the financial statements by 31 May, and this time around we had to receive the financial statements on the 31st of July. And both the department and the entity actually met the deadline, so we commend them for that. And then after we received those financial statements, ARF did actually submit financial statements that were fit for purpose without errors. And however, the department submitted financial statements that had errors, which some of them they could not rectify, hence we have a qualification the current year. So when you look at the slide that we have here, out of the two entities, ARF, which is 50%, is the one that submitted the financial statement without errors. And this, they sustained it from when you compare to the last year, 2018-19. And then after we've taken both the financial statements through audit, at the end, then DERCO is the one that remained with financial statement that still have errors, which now shown as qualifications in the financial statement. Hence, we still have 50% here and 50% in the prior year. So it's a similar case as compared to the prior year. So moving to the next slide. This is performance reporting, Honorable Chair. So in terms of performance reporting, actually the department does very well. So in terms of the performance information report that they submitted during the audit, the department actually submitted reports that were free from any material misstatements. However, ARF is the one that struggled actually when it comes to performance reporting. So hence there you see that even in the prior year, ARF actually, when we received the performance reports of the ARF, we do actually identify errors which are subsequently corrected by management. So when you go down to at the bottom there, you see that a reliable reporting of achievement and usefulness of performance indicators. At the end, they are both 100%. After we identified issues under ARF, management went back and corrected all the issues that we identified. And then when you move to compliance, under compliance, ARF again is still doing very well. We did not identify any material non-compliance in the entity. You see it remained green even when you compare to the prior year. But however, we still have issues when it comes to the department. We're still identifying material non-compliances, with which now they are also reported in the audit report. So some of the, just to highlight, we've got in top three non-compliance is for non-compliance areas under procurement and contract management, expenditure management, and annual financial statements. So when you look at procurement and contract management, so we found instances where some contracts were extended without obtaining the necessary approvals as required by the ACM legislation. And then some contracts actually were protocols. So what happens is that when there's a transversal contract, then each department that is participating in that transversal contract needs to follow the processes that are in that transversal contract. So some services were procured not in line with the transversal contract that is already in place. So that is also concerning. And some awards were actually awarded to some bidders who did not actually declare whether they work for the state or they are related to people that work for the state. And the one that is mostly there every year, like we still find instances of where the department does not obtain direct quotations when they're doing a procurement of goods and services. And the expenditure management, we're still stressing that actually the department is actually not preventing fruitless and wasteful expenditure as well as irregular expenditure. And that is very concerning, as because this is an issue that pops up every year. And then annual financial statements, when you receive the financial statements for DERCO, we still identify issues that management have to go back and correct those. And that is actually not in line with the PFMA. And then when you move to the next slide, Honorable Chair, the status of internal controls. Under effective leadership, as Mr. Sogombela has already highlighted, we've identified that actually the department has worked tirelessly and they've managed to reverse the qualification on asset management, and they've also worked to reverse the qualification under cash and cash equivalent. However, they have the current qualification now. So you see that we've got some improvement when it comes to effective leadership. And then proper record keeping, it remains because the department needs to do some further investigation in order to clear up the current qualification under this allowance account. And monthly controls, it has improved. You see we have some improvement. However, for ARF remains the same because of the performance information errors that we identify, of which they always go back and rectify. And then for compliance, for DERCO, it still remains a concern for us because we're still identifying material non-compliance, specifically on relating to SCM. And for the department, risk remains a key issue because usually the risk department is not fully capacitated. And in the current year, 1920, they did not even do the risk assessment that they're supposed to do. So risk management remains a concern in the department. Then when you go to assurance providers, Chair, Honorable Chair, so under senior management and accounting officer, we put them as yellow. You realize that that's an improvement compared to the prior year. So here we're saying under the leadership of the accounting officer, senior management actually went and worked tirelessly to make sure that they reverse the qualification under asset management, as well as cash and cash equivalents. However, it still remains yellow as a concern because they still have non-compliance findings as well as a qualification on receivables. And then when you move to the next slide, Honorable Chair, now we move to slide number 20, which deals with financial health. So though we are happy that the department will continue the going concern, however, we just want to highlight that they have actually incurred unauthorized expenditure in the current year, the 2019-20 audit. And this was mainly due to the ceiling that National Treasury has put on the cost of employees. And again, because the department operates in multiple currencies, so the rent depreciation as well that affected the department. So the current budget of cost of employees does not actually cover the current field position in the department, of which is a serious problem that we're seeing now. And we're encouraging the department to keep on talking to National Treasury to find solutions on this issue. And then when you move to slide number 21, Honorable Chair, it still talks about the unauthorized expenditure. Here, I'm just unpicking that in the prior year, they did not have any unauthorized expenditure. And in the current year, actually, they incurred 247 million rand worth of unauthorized expenditure. And the reasons detailed that I just mentioned now, due to the ceiling that is there by National Treasury on the cost of employees and the rent depreciation as the department is operating in multiple currencies. And then when you move to the next slide, we go to irregular expenditure. So the one positive that we see there is that actually the irregular expenditure is actually declining when you compare to the prior year. So of the 217 million that you see there, the 204 million of it relates to contracts that are continuing. So the multi-year contracts that are continuing. So as they spend on those contracts, as they were declared irregular expenditure, so they will have to disclose that amount as irregular expenditure. Hence, you still see them as irregular expenditure. And the nature of those irregular expenditure that they're identifying is that when they are procuring on transversal contracts, they're not following the processes that are there in place, and reputations, they're still not obtaining the reputations, and some awards were made to bidders that did not even submit declarations that they are related to people working in the state or they work for the state, and contracts are extended without the necessary approvals. So the good thing as well is that the department actually investigate this, and then that's a positive that we see in the right direction. And then when you move to the next slide, Honorable Chair, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So under fruitless and wasteful expenditure, similar case, we've seen that it is actually declining, but however, it remains a concern because the aim is not to see it there at all. Just to mention that ARF, again, they did not incur any fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So this is purely on the department. So the nature of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure is payments on unoccupied properties abroad and cancellation of services such as your flights and functions. So that's how they incur their regular fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And then in terms of investigations, so far they've only managed to investigate 14% of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and the 86% is still ongoing. And then when you move to the next slide, Honorable Chair, slide number 24, here it still talks about the supply chain management that I mentioned in the previous slide. I'm still reiterating that the type of findings that we identify, still to emphasize, ARF does not have any findings on supply chain management, which is very commendable. And then when you move to slide number 25, here we highlight the root causes. The root causes, we're saying there's a slowness and no response in improving key controls and addressing risk areas. So in terms of this also deals with the because that's where the issues are. And we're saying basic financial discipline preparing and performing detailed reviews of monthly reconciliations, ineffective action plan on compliance monitoring, because we're still identifying issues under compliance, and inadequate SCM compliance monitoring and processes. So when you move to the slide number 26, so here we have some recommendations. It's for both the department and the portfolio committee. So for the department, Honorable Chair, we're saying implement action plans timely to address audit findings, especially in compliance with legislation. Ensure that all procurement process has been subjected to review by SCM units prior to approval or award. Improve communication between the missions and head office to avoid instances where there's in contradiction information supporting financial statements as evidence in the audit of cash and cash equivalents, receivables, and tangible capital assets. So we're saying they must continue preparing the monthly reconciliations that they were doing. Also, they must continue with the 100% asset verification, because that's actually what got them out of the qualification under asset management. And then we're saying the accounting officer should ensure that a culture of consequent management is maintained in the department, because that's when now people start to, the behavior, start to see behavior changing. And to the portfolio committee, Honorable Chair, we're saying the portfolio committee should request the accounting officer as well as the minister to provide feedback on the implementation and progress of action plans to ensure improvement in the audit outcomes of the portfolio. And that actually brings us to the end of our presentation. Back to you, Mr. Sokombela.
Actually, to be back to the chairperson.
Yes.
Back to the chairperson, to you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you so much, Team AD. I'm now going to allow honorable members to raise their issues. Can I note hands, honorable members? Honorable Ngosi, I see your hand is up. Honorable Mpanza, Reverend Mushwe, in that order.
Oh, thanks, Chairperson. And I think we continue to extend our condolences to the AG, and your pain is our pain itself, I think, throughout the country. Chair, there are several issues. I don't know whether I'm going to be limited on time or must I request to make a second bite.
Honorable Utini?
No, I'm asking, I'm saying that there are several issues. May I request to make a second bite and raise only the...
We are in a meeting, Chief. I gave you a platform. If you don't speak now, forever keep quiet.
Okay.
Yes.
No, Chair. The first issue is, I think, broadly what the AG is saying agrees with what the Internal Audit Committee has said to us in our meeting of the 7th of October. However, in relation to today's presentation, I just want to get clarity from the AG whether the on performance, whether the key performance areas in the department are clear at an organizational level, at the functional level, at the service level, and at individual level. And coming to the issues on the finances of the department, Chair, I think this issue on the receivables, I think we need to know from the AG what are these in greater detail. What constitute these receivables that led to the qualification? And just to make a comment that I think that the advice that they must reclassify them to receivables is a good advice. However, if Treasury expresses a problem with that, then it for me, it creates a problem on why in the first place was it not addressed as cash and equivalent and had to be classified in order to move the department away from a qualification on cash and equivalents. In the ultimate end, it came back to the same thing. There is a qualification because what was supposed to be cash and equivalent is now reclassified as receivables, and there's no proper documentation for that. So we need an explanation on that. On performance, the performance information, I think we've raised the issue around SCM in the past. Can the AG team indicate to us whether one SCM as currently constituted has the requisite skills which we recommended be done last year? Two, what are the difficulties in ensuring compliance with legislation? And I also require a breakdown, Chair, of this huge amount on SCM. And thirdly, on SCM is whether there's consequence management in SCM. I think those will be my initial questions. Okay, the last one is AG says the financials were submitted with material misstatements. Is this related to the receivables only, or are there any other aspects of material misstatements by the department? Thanks, Chair.
Chairperson, yes, Chair, thanks very much. But Chair, I would like to start with a disclaimer that says when you're accepting the presentation, which is very good, and we want to thank the team AG, but I just want to put a disclaimer that what they are saying is an improvement when it comes to these two main issues, which is cash and cash equivalent and asset register. It was not just a magic that the department has improved on this one. if it wasn't for the oversight role, which was robust, and the intervention of the portfolio committee, maybe they couldn't be saying what they are saying today. So it's not a question of blowing our own trumpets, but because we are in a formal meeting, we must raise that issue that it was because of our portfolio committee collective playing an oversight role and recommending and directing the department to come up with interventions that are going to address these two elephants in the room. So that is my preamble, Chair, in my input. Chair, the other issue that I want to raise is the issue of what is different that the ARF is doing that the department is failing to do. Because you can't have a situation where you've got an entity within the department and it's actually addressing the issues that the AG is raising, and as a result of that, then they are able to achieve the clean audit. And yet the department under which this entity is operating is failing to address the issues. So it's very important to address that issue. So I just want to hear from the AG team. Maybe they are going to make us wise and tell us that no, the ARF is doing this and the department is not doing this. So that we'll then be in a position to hold the department accountable and say, why are we not following the good example of the entity within yourselves that is performing very well when it comes to audit issues? The other issue, Chair, that I want to raise is that the AG is saying that initially the political side, which is the executive, also had challenges when it comes to audit issues. But as time goes on, they were able to address those issues, and hence there are no issues when it comes to them. And again, it's the same issue that I'm raising with regard to the ARF. If the political side of the department can be able to address those issues, and then when the audit process is taking place, they are seen to be addressing those issues, what is the problem with the department? What is it that they are failing to do when you've got the entity and the executive, which is part and parcel of the components that we are overseeing as a committee? So I would really want to know what is happening in that one. And then, Chair, on the issue of cash and cash equivalent, I just want to know, how long have we been experiencing this problem? Is it 2 years, 1 year, or 5 years? And why they couldn't come up with a solution to this issue? And I want to know which countries out of the 125 missions that we have, which are these 5 missions that are still experiencing these things? Maybe it's premature to ask that question. Maybe it can be determined by the outcome or the engagement of the department and the AG on that one. And then, Chair, I think we must emphasize on this committee that the department really must come up with a mechanism to address this issue of multi-currencies. Because it's one of the issues that is causing this audit query when it comes to employee compensation because of the multi-currencies that they are operating under. And Chair, this is the reality that the department will live with it for a long, long time. So they need to be proactive and be innovative in finding the solution and addressing this issue, because otherwise, if they don't do that, we'll always have this adverse audit outcomes. The other issue, Chair, is the irregular expenditure. This is becoming very, very, very pertinent. And it's happening all the time. When is the department going to really deal with this issue once and for all? So if there is a section or a department or individuals that are overlooking the prescripts of legislation in terms of the municipal, the Public Finance Management Act, then I agree with the Honorable Nkosi that consequence management must take its own course, because we can't have a recurring audit query that is happening on issues of supply chain, and we must know which are these contracts that are always awarded, even if or extended, even if the term of them has expired. And then, Chair, lastly, I just want to check with the department or the AG as to what are they assisting the department in terms of addressing the issues of capacity, particularly in the finance section. But bearing in mind that the finance section is not operating in silos, although, or if that is the case, then there will be a problem. We've got DDGs in ADA. What is the situation there in terms of them working together? Because of course, yes, the CFO is responsible at the end of the day, but he or she should not be working alone. And so if there's a problem, what are these other colleagues are doing in dealing with those issues? And lastly, Chair, I just want to appreciate the AG. They've done their work nicely. They've identified the problems. They've said the issues and come up with very, very clear recommendations. And those recommendations are directed to the department, and the other ones are directed to us as a committee. And I want to say, Chair, I support those recommendations, and when the time comes, we'll then have to talk to them. And I have just preempted my position. I will really move for them to be adopted. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mbanza. Honorable Reverend Mishwe.
Thank you, Chairperson. May I start by
appreciating... Can you, there's a request from our media team that the Portfolio Committee is live on our Parliament channel, that your cameras, as honorable members and everyone else who speaks here, cameras must be on. Can we please adhere to that? Thank you very much. Just got a note now.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me set start by appreciating the presentation we got from the team. Very clear and straightforward. My first question has to do with outsourcing auditing in some countries. What was the overall impression of the audit teams that were appointed to go to countries that our own auditors could not go because of COVID-19, and how did that impact on the budget of the audit team? And secondly, we were told that DICO submitted financial statements with errors they could not rectify. I need clarity on this, because if DICO could not rectify their financial statements, did the auditors try to assist them to make the rectifications, or nothing was done? The end was just they could not rectify the statements, which I found very unfortunate. In such cases, when financial statements cannot be rectified, what happens? Are they just left like that, and then they are given the message taken to the minister, or what happens in such cases? The DECO, when it comes to compliance, they have been making awards to bidders who did not submit the required declarations. Now, in cases where submissions without required qualifications are still awarded to such a bidder, what do they use to convince themselves that the bidder that they are giving the award to is qualified, because that bidder did not submit the required data? And when one looks at the scorecard given to the ARF and DERCO, the ARF obviously has done very well. They have a much better scorecard than DERCO. Now, if the audit team is asked the question, what can DERCO learn from ARF? Is it a problem of leadership? Is it a problem of not having sufficient consequent management? Or why is DERCO performing, unfortunately, not as good as the ARF? Lastly, to see the unauthorized expenditure of 247 million rand and irregular expenditure of 271 million rand, much still has to be done in DERCO. My question there is whether consequent management is almost absent, totally absent, but why are we seeing recurring of unauthorized and irregular expenditure in DERCO, and what are their proposals as a way forward to ensure that we do not have such high unauthorized and irregular expenditures? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Reverend Moshe. Honorable Mueda. DP? Honorable Mueda? Oh, Sizabuya, Honorable Mueda. Honorable Mufan?
I'm here, Chair.
Oh, DP, continue. What's wrong with your gadget?
Yeah, okay. No, thank you, Chair. Honorable Chair, thank you very much. Greetings, honorable members, colleagues, Deputy Minister Mashego Dlamini, and voters, you are saluted. Thank you very much. Let Let me also acknowledge the team AG Honorable in sending our condolences to the entire team AG family and everybody for their loss. Indeed, it is a great loss for all of us as South Africans and the world. We take this opportunity in joining Honorable Chair of the Portfolio Committee in sending our condolences to the family of the AG and the other members of the society. Chair, let me join other honorable members and colleagues who have raised some of the issues before me, especially on issues of SCM. Honorable Nkosi touched a number of issues which I want to align myself with what he has indicated earlier on, that according to the analysis of the AG, that section, supply chain management, if they analyze, do we have capable, responsible, honest officials to serve under that particular section, which is called supply chain management. Why am I raising this? It's because probably we are where we are now because they don't have the actual skills that are required for them to be in that section, the supply chain. And for us to be able to be out of that particular crisis where we are now, especially in the supply chain, we need to go deep and analyze if everybody that is aligned in that particular unit is placed correctly. So if AG assist me there, why again, Chair, am I raising this? Because ARF is also under DERCO now. They are performing. What is it that they are doing, and who is managing finances of ARF, and who is managing? Because we know that in the department DERCO, we have got the CFO that is responsible for within the department. Now, when it comes to ARF, what is it that is so easy for them to always obtain such an audit opinion compared to the department? Irregular expenditure, it has been said a lot, where they don't comply at some point, they don't declare and all that. What is their problem according to the AG? What is it that can be done in correcting the situation? Were they able to caution the department to say, bring 1, 2, 3, 4, there are no attachments in this tender and on in all that, so that we can be able to hold somebody accountable? Because at the end of the day, Chair, I think we've spoken about this matter for a long time, issues of consequence management in the department. It is not for the first time today where Honorable Nkosi and other honorable members have raised this matter of consequence management. We have raised this matter for a long time to say we understand AG. There are issues where you are spot on. There are areas where you need to touch base on. And there are areas where you have said, no, go and correct 1, 2, 3, and 4. But were they able to correct those issues? And issues of consequence management, I have never. We are now, today, you are presenting to us AG for the second time since we've in this office. Now, issues of consequence management, I have never yet of any results on those issues. And it means that if we are silent again, it will continue and continue and continue, and it will affect the department. So one last thing that I want to raise, Honorable Chair, is that based on the previous recommendation, AG, the previous financial year, not this one. There were recommendations to the department. Can you please brief us if they were able to meet and they were able to respond to those recommendations that we have said to them, these are the recommendations, department, go and fix 1, 2, 3, 4, based on the recommendations that we have raised previously on the last financial previous year, where are they now? So that we can be able to hold them accountable in our next session, because some of the issues, Honorable Chair, with your beautiful smile, I still want to raise them with the department, because there are many issues that I want to raise with the department based on what the age is raising with us today. And I feel very strong. I'm happy because the both deputy ministers are here. On the issue of administration, previously we spoke about those issues, and some of the issues are coming back here today, where Honorable Deputy Minister Mashego Dlamini gave an assurance to us that some of the issues that affect the department in terms of its performance probably is based on administration, and then they are going to fix that. So when we come back, I think Umam Kendit, our deputy minister, is going to brief us as to how far are they in terms of, because we have even recommended that in supply chain management, there are people who don't deserve to be in supply chain management because they keep on doing the same and the same mistakes. Now, I'm in that department. People who are there for a long time, who can't perform, who can't do anything, then it becomes a problem. However, there is a progress, which we must appreciate, all of us. There is a progress as per the presentation of the AG, but we cannot close one eye and pretend as if things are normal, especially in supply chain management. We have raised those issues, and we are still again today raising those issues, and we feel very strong. I feel very strong, Honorable Chair, that the department in our next PC, where we will have the department, some of the issues will be, I think I will raise with the department, because the AG has presented their side, but we appreciate that, and we are going to raise some of the issues when the department is here. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me stop, Marine, without wasting most of your time. I really appreciate your time. I stop, Marine, now, Chair. Thank you.
As you said, Marine, Honorable Sonny, can you resurface? Because that one is Marine, down your cases.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. We would also like to send our condolences to Mr. Magwet, to family and his colleagues, and thank him for the excellent work that he has dedicated his life to South Africans and their public purse. And also, Chairperson, would like to send our condolences to the family and friends and comrades and the people of Ghana as a whole on the passing of the former president of Ghana, Mr. Jerry Rawlings, who passed away today of COVID-19. We say may his undying revolutionary spirit continue to rise and rest in peace. Chairperson, the findings today that we are told and they are presented by the AG do not come as a shock to us as this committee, Chairperson. However, it seems that instead of things getting better, things are getting worse. Chairperson, for a department of such caliber to issue contracts without declarations, which is a basic requirement in any contract of the state, is very alarming, Chairperson, but we have heard of these before and we are still hearing of them today. And cash on cash, like the AG has presented, 140 million to 187 million, that is the money of the public, Chairperson. Irregular expenditure on things which the legislation should be guiding, however the department chooses not to follow legislation and continuously are in contravention of the legislation. Chairperson, I would like to ask the Auditor General, when are you going to invoke the Public Audit Amendment Act, which gives you the powers to personally hold financial and accounting officers responsible for any amounts that are found as irregular? Because we cannot allow this to happen each and every year with this department. A basic financial instrument, which is an annual financial statement, if it has to come with errors each and every year and it becomes a finding, and the Auditor General only wants to recommend, but as Parliament, they were given, we gave them the powers, Chairperson, that they can hold the accounting officers liable. So when are you going to invoke this act and utilize it in this department? Because next year it will still be the same findings, Auditor General, without consequence. And we don't want to waste our time as this committee and keep on giving people time to rectify when it is very clear that this department does not want to rectify their wrongdoings or the findings. Chairperson, 247 million of the public's money, unauthorized expenditure on compensation of employees. Has the AG actually looked at how many of these employees are incorrectly placed? Some which are not meant to be in some certain positions and are earning salaries which they are not deserving or qualified for. Has the AG actually looked at that? And what is the finding of the AG with regards to the internal audit committee of the department? What needs to be done there? What are the recommendations that the AG is giving us? And what are the recommendations on the unoccupied property that the AG would like to recommend for this committee and the department to rectify? And then, Chairperson, let me deal with a little bit of politics of SADC. Let me take this opportunity because today we have the presence of the deputy ministers of this department. 430,000 people in Mozambique have been displaced. More than 2,000 people have been killed in Mozambique. The insurgency has been happening for the past 3 years. And when we got a presentation from the minister, we were told that SADC is waiting for a roadmap from Mozambique. Can the deputy ministers here present here today maybe highlight to this committee why does SADC not want to invoke Article 6(1) of the SADC Mutual Defense Pact, Chairperson? which clearly states that an attack on a state party shall be considered a threat to the regional peace and security, and such an attack shall be met with immediate collection action. Why has SADC not invoked this act? Why is SADC still waiting for a roadmap? And if there has been any progress made, what is that progress? Why are we allowing our sister country to be held ransom, people to be killed, people to be displaced, women to be raped, Chairperson? What is SADC doing? What is the AU doing? South Africa is the chairperson of the AU, and our neighbors are being brutally killed with no immediate action that is being taken. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Chetty.
Thank you, Chair. We would also like to place on record our sincere condolences to the late A.G. Makweta and his family and colleagues. We thank him for having set the bar as high as he done in the A.G.'s office. And we hope that those that follow in his footsteps will pay tribute and carry out the work that he had done as meticulously as he did. Chair, let me just start off by firstly answering a question that some of my colleagues had raised. In this department, there is no consequence management. And that's the reason why this department will continue in the manner that it does and will not receive an unqualified audit with no findings. As long as there is no consequences, as long as heads don't roll, this department will continue in the manner that they've been doing. A basic thing that has been touched by many of my other colleagues is about the supply chain management. This department has been failed by the SEM. The report speaks of the repeated failure for SEM to comply with the basics. Three quotes. Any normal business, let alone a multi-billion rand or multi-billion dollar department, basic three quotes you must have. Last time we had the report, it was identified they don't have it. They don't follow that. The issue around the extension of contracts, modifying them without proper approval. It's not the first time we're hearing this. Last year we sat here, it was the same issue. The service procurement is not done in accordance. And let's just talk about the declaration that's not submitted by the suppliers. All of this is not new to us in the committee. We've heard it before. Now, Chairperson, and I am at my wit's end right now, because if the committee will recall, last year when we were dealing with the report, the DG and the CFO sat before us. And when we dealt with the report, we were told that it would be rectified. The committee must not worry. We will now be hands-on. This committee's oversight that's been placed, as the Honorable Impanza said, is because of the vigorousness of the committee's oversight. We started to make sure that certain things were happening. But Chair, I have another concern, and it can't be right that just by simply changing over from an Excel to NetSpace could have such a drastic difference in assisting us to rectify the asset register and cash equivalent. I'm sure there has to be more than just that. Because if that was the case, why is it that this transfer from Excel to NetSpace did not happen earlier? In the report, we were told that they had visited half the missions, but due to COVID-19, could not comply, complete all. My question will be then, if you did have time to complete all as you had projected, do you agree that there could be an adverse outcome? Because remember, we identified lots of issues in lots of missions, and you could have just went to those which were more or less more compliant, and those that you did not do were the ones that were the defaulters. The issue around the 247 million. And see, I'm not going to label lots of the stuff because my colleagues have already said it, so I won't be repetitive. But I just want to find out, because in the report you speak about rentals. Have you included the rentals for those properties, for example, the New York pilot project, and the continued unauthorized rental? And what, as your department suggested, that this department rectify, because this has been ongoing for quite a few years. And to date, there is further expenses that have been incurred in the procurement of other properties. We speak about, or you try to justify some of the, not you, the department tries to justify some of the expenses on the salaries. Now, this committee has requested for an audit on the qualifications of the staff. And to date, we're still waiting for that. And it's similar to the fact that there is a will not to get things right for fear that it might expose certain shenanigans that has been the norm within this department. Thank you, Chairperson.
Are you done, Honorable Chedi?
Yes, Chair, thank you. I lost signal.
You lost signal? Does that mean you have more questions?
No, he's done, Chair. He indicated
no,
that
he's
done.
It's concluded, Chair.
Okay, Team AG, can you respond?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and honorable members, also for the messages of support, of condolences. Chair, I'm going to answer the questions, but my team here also will cover some of the questions that I couldn't cover. I'm going to be answering the questions, Chair, in sequence, you know, starting from Honorable Nkosi. I think on the question that Honorable Nkosi has asked in terms of the KPIs, I think as far as the audit of performance information is concerned, the department is doing very well in that space. We have not identified any issues in the annual performance plan and the annual performance report in terms of how the KPIs are defined and also the information that is being reported there. You know, we came to a conclusion that information is valid, accurate, and complete, meaning that it's credible. I think your other question, Honorable Gosu, was on the issue of receivables, where you wanted to know what are these in great detail, what constitutes this that led to a qualification. Honorable Gosu, I think the challenge is that the source of this challenge, of this problem, is that for years, the department has not been performing proper reconciliation between what is sitting in the bank account and also what is sitting in the cash book or in the system of financial statements. So then these amounts then, you know, have accumulated, I think, for over the years, I think for about when we looked at it last year, because we started picking up this matter in the last audit, where we realized that there's a long list of items that cannot be supported by documentation. And those amounts were was millions and millions of rands. So that is basically then the issue here, if I can unpack it. But if I cannot tell you in terms of then what really these issues are, because the challenge that we have is that there are no supporting documents or source documents, you know, for us to arrive at a conclusion where we can tell you. Hence, we are mentioning then that this is a limitation of scope. You know, we are being limited. So in simple words, this also creates uncertainty, a lot of uncertainty to us, which is not ideal, you know, for the auditors. So I think that is the issue. And I think the issue of reclassification of this issue from cash and cash equivalent to receivables, I agree. At the end of the day, the department still got a qualification, you know, because if they reclassified it, but that reclassification, they can support it with valid source document, this qualification would have been addressed, you know. So I think that's the challenge that this department, then the department, the officials of the department needs to do this, not only to do the reconciliation, they need to get the documents that support this amount so that they can be able to allocate them at the right places. So I think that's a very important thing to mention there. I think as an audit office, we share the same concerns and the same sentiment as far as supply chain management and the transgressions that we see in that space. And in as much as we are reporting that it has gone down, it's not good. You know, we cannot, where we're sitting, you know, say that we're congratulating the department for incurring irregular expenditure. So I think that is a matter that, you know, is an area of concern. And also the questions from the honorable members as well, as far as the issue of consequence management, is a very important question, because we really would like to see consequence management. And as we have reported in the report, we have seen that the accounting officer has performed the investigations on this irregular expenditure. But then also what we want to see is the accounting officer then putting consequence management in place, meaning that people need to get disciplined. You know, people. We want to see people facing the music as far as transgressing the laws and regulations, especially when it comes to supply chain management, because that is risky. That is a very risky area. So I think it would be important also these questions to be posed to the accounting officer in terms of what exactly, when is it going to be, you know, implementing the recommendations of these investigations that were done on the regular expenditure. So I think that's a very important, that is a very important issue to highlight or to elevate. The issue of material misstatements in the financial statements that were submitted specifically for DERCO. These areas of material misstatements are not only limited to receivables, but there are other areas as well, or classes of transactions where we had material misstatements. However, these material misstatements were picked up through the audit process, and then the department managed then to correct them subsequent to us, you know, raising this particular issue. So I think it's important for us to mention that. However, the reason why the department is qualified on receivables is because they could not address that one, because there was no source documents to support this 187 million that is sitting in the receivables session. So that one created uncertainty for us as an audit office. Honorable Mpanza, indeed, I think you're correct. This portfolio committee has played a significant role in terms of the minimal improvements that we see in the audit outcomes, specifically at DERCO, because even ourselves, when we're engaging, you know, with relevant stakeholders, we can feel the impact of this portfolio committee. And we would like to commend the portfolio committee to continue, holding the officials of the department accountable to ensure then that there's an improvement in the portfolio. I think there was an issue, Honorable Mpanza, that you raised in terms of what is it that is different that ARF is doing to what DERCO is doing. I'm going to leave that question to my team, you know, because they are the ones that are on the ground. I think they will be more eloquent than I would be as far as that particular issue is concerned. But it's all about the discipline of financial management, the discipline of internal controls, but leadership plays a very huge role in terms of ensuring then that there's good financial management in these entities. So I think that's the most important thing that I just want to highlight. I think, Honorable Mpanza, on the issue of the political side of the department, which is the side of performance information, I think with DERCO we've come a long way as far as performance information is concerned. And I think there's been instability in that space, and we've got very committed public servants that are working in that department that is responsible for performance information. And that is the one then that is a game changer, because if you look in terms of how they are managing performance information for the department, they are doing an incredible job there. You know, so as far as then the finance section is concerned, we are seeing these challenges, and we are seeing this slow response, because you'll remember Tabiso talked about this root cause, where there's a slow response in terms of how management is responding to our findings and addressing our findings. They are not moving at the pace that we would want them to move as far as these issues are concerned. So I think that's a very important aspect to highlight. I think I've explained the issue of cash and cash equivalents and how long this department has been experiencing. This matter we've identified in the prior year, but upon identifying it, we found that this matter has been happening, you know, over the years. So the department then has been trying then to rectify it and to correct it. But I must say, on cash and cash equivalent, it will be important to get the accounting officer as well as the CFO to provide an update on this, because the assurance that they gave us when we signed the audit opinion by end of October was that they were going to rectify this particular issue, with immediate effect. We haven't touched base with them, but they were very optimistic that is an issue that they were going to be able to address. So hopefully when they are coming to the portfolio committee to table, they will be able then to provide the progress update. And as far as the which machines are experiencing these challenges, that's the challenge that we are having, because we have got a limitation of scope. So it's very uncertain to us. We cannot pronounce in terms of which machines are affected by this particular issue. The issue of multi-currencies, I agree that it needs to be addressed. The issue of unauthorized expenditure, that is then a collateral damage as well, because the rand has depreciated quite substantially in the year that we are reporting. That we are reporting on. I think I've already talked about the issue of consequence management. And also, I think there were questions also about the specific contracts, you know, especially the details on the specific contracts that were extended. And I think Tabiso will be able to address those particular issues, so that the honorable members can have an idea in terms of what the challenges are. What are these contracts that keeps on getting extended, and why? You know, what are the reasons? And also then Tadiso will address the questions regarding the officials in the supply chain management divisions, why they keep on doing these transgressions. Is it a skills issue? Is it an issue of, of just disregarding, the legislation? I think that's a very important aspect for us to provide clarity on that particular issue. The issue, we appreciate Honorable Mpanza on the recommendations, because we would really like to see the portfolio committee exercising oversight and taking our recommendations to the department. Honorable Reverend Moshe, on the issue of outsourcing the audit to other countries, we're left with no choice but for us to adjust, because you'll remember that during the time that we're busy with this audit, we were not allowed to go out of the country. The country was in a lockdown. So under those circumstances, we had to take the budget that we were going to utilize on our own, and then use this budget then to use these audit firms in these countries that we wanted to verify these assets and do some work as well. So there was no over expenditure on our side as far as budget. It was a matter of shifting the budget. By the way, we lost our revenue. So that's how this pandemic has affected us, because we had to lose then our revenue so that that money then can be used by us to pay these audit firms. But I think I just want to mention that was the situation. The situation has forced us to do that. Derco did submit financial statements with errors. Some of the errors that were picked up through the audit process, they were able to be rectified by the department. But unfortunately, the errors on the receivables were the one that could not be rectified. Hence, then that one resulted in the department getting a qualified audit opinion. That's why we got the qualified audit opinion in that space. So, Honorable Reverend Moshe, I just wanted to clarify that particular issue. The issue of the issue of declarations and the department awarding contracts or tenders without declaration is a very big concern. That's why we are highlighting here, because the department really needs to answer why they are transgressing these regulations as well, and whether there is consequence management as well on these particular issues. Honorable Muela, I think on the issue of the officials on the supply chain management division, because I think your question is whether then we've got capable, responsible, honest officials that are serving in that session. That's a good question, because at DERCO we've been raising the findings of supply chain management for the past decade, and we seem not to be, winning this battle. So it's important then that we need to start, digging into that space. But Tabiso will address that question on that area, and also even the question of DERCO and ARF is a very important question. The other question, Honorable Chair, was the issue of recommendations that we are making from Honorable Muela, whether the department is meeting those recommendations. We are saying, basically what we are saying in this briefing is that there is notable progress that the department has made to address the recommendations that was made in the prior year. Hence, the qualifications on assets has been addressed, and also they've tried to reclassify the issue on cash and cash equivalent. However, we still have some concerns, because we are still seeing transgressions on supply chain management as well as fruit and wasteful expenditure, which is not ideal. So There is no response there. So we would want to see all of those particular areas being addressed. Honorable Mfane, on the issue of when are we invoking the new amendments to the Public Audit Act, that is an area that since this new law was promulgated in I think 1st of April 2019, we have since phased it in, because the new powers now gave us, the new PAA gave us powers as the Auditor General of South Africa to issue material irregularities and refer these material irregularities to public bodies. And also it gave us powers to issue recommendations and remedial actions that are binding, as well as issue the certificate of debt, where we say that there are no actions from the accounting office. And how we have invoked it, because it's such a mammoth task for us to do as an audit office. We have started then in 2017-18 financial year by piloting it in 16 entities across the country, where there was a certain criteria that we followed, where we've identified the top offenders as far as the regular expenditure is concerned, and also some of the other factors that were taken into account, which are the conscious decision then that the Auditor General has taken, because in as much as these new powers, you know, we needed to invoke, but there were certain factors that we needed to take into account. Those factors, you know, are from skills and competencies within the audit office, the issue of training, you know, that needs to be there so that we can get ready, the issues of the criteria that also we're going to use to audit these areas. So you will see in our general report for 2017-18, we did report the outcomes in terms of those 16 audits. For the year that is under review, 2019-20, the Auditor General then made a decision also to increase that 16 to a number, to 89 audits. And those 89 audits, there was a criteria also that was followed there. Also, the big expenditure, the big irregular expenditure was a factor there, but also those auditees or entities that allocated bigger budget also were identified to say, maybe let's phase it in on them. For the year 2021, the Auditor General also is still going to make a decision in terms of whether she is going to invoke it to all of the auditees. So that is the decision then that the Auditor General is still going to make. And your concerns are noted as far as this new Public Audit Act, but there's a lot of work that the audit office is busy doing to ensure then that we are ready and also are implementing these new powers in a responsible manner as well. Honorable Son, I think the issue of contracts and declarations on the supply chain management is an issue of concern, and also you are right, you know, because these are the issues that we're not raising for the first time. And that issue of cash and the cash equivalent in date, that is public money. Hence, we would want the department to account for that particular money. You know, hence we say, do some reconciliations, do some investigations, tell us exactly where this, what this money was spent, was spent on. Honorable Chair, I'm going to request with your permission to hand over to Sangeeta. Sangeeta will try and address some of the questions that I couldn't address, Chairperson, and she can hand over also to the team.
Okay, Sangeeta.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I'm going to attempt to address some of the issues and maybe just finish up the list in terms of the questions in order. I think the questions around unauthorized expenditure and the compensation of employees that Honorable Member Masane raised specifically around the recommendations that we've issued, I think we follow a process to identify whether our recommendations have actually been implemented. And from that process, whatever we identify has not been implemented, we generally do not then raise it as findings within the audit report. So I think to some extent then in this year that we did not find any of those matters to raise. I think Honourable Member Chetty raised the matter around consequence management, and I think Polani has answered in those areas. Chairperson, through you, I think there was a question around was it simply the transfer from Excel to Netrace that actually rectified the asset matter? And I think from the perspective of our audit, we identified that there was vigorous processes that management had put in place to actually identify assets through asset verification at all of the missions. Which was then definitely part of the cleanup process that they implemented. All variances that they had identified during this process, they basically then communicated from the missions to the department. And I think there was a collaboration that they had run between internal audit as well as the department to actually rectify the asset situation. So it wasn't merely a move from Excel to a automated system. We do believe that to some extent an automated system can assist in ensuring that there's lack of human error, so that it eradicates the level of human error. It eradicates a level of uncertainty or perhaps non-use of just an Excel system, which is pretty a flat system, and then introduces some level of proper document management, proper tracing of assets, even additional information that's required in ensuring that your assets are adequately kept as required by the PFMA. I think the management also then implemented monthly reconciliations. So the commitment, I think, from our side that we did identify was the implementation of our recommendations around preventative controls, which we believe that these monthly reconciliations, as well as the asset verifications, is then going to be able to address this as a sustainable response into the future. But this is an area that definitely one can actually have a look at. I think the matter, Honourable Chairperson, around the rentals as well as the the salaries specifically around the unauthorized expenditure, I'd like perhaps to ask Thabiso to address it as well when he addresses the ARF matters. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson.
Thabiso?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I think on the question of, I think there was a question on which contracts that were extended without the proper approvals. So just to mention, I think it has to do with IT, because some of the IT contracts, some is wide area network, some is the maintenance of desktops and laptops within the department at the missions, and network security. And I think one contract as well is has to do with the storage facilities for the transfer officials to the mission back and to the missions. And then on the issue of ARF and DERCO, what is the difference? I think when you look at the two and the size and the magnitude of DERCO compared to ARF, in terms of size, ARF is very small, and it's a small team of employees that are involved in ARF. So with ARF, it's very easy for the accounting officer to be able to determine if there are any misstatement, any issues in the entity, and it's very easy to deal with the specific people. As in, when you compare with DERCO has too many hands, and it operates in multiple currencies, multiple all over the world. So it's very difficult when compared to DERCO. So as well, I think in terms of DERCO, the only way for them to actually rectify these issues is to make sure that they touch in their controls, they understand the environment in which they're working in, and make sure that consequence management as well is also implemented. I think that's the only way to make sure that DERCO turns around. But we've seen that commitment actually, and we've seen it bearing fruit when it comes to asset management and cash management, because we've seen actually them moving in the same direction, all of them, with the same goal, and that resulted in them managing to reverse some of the qualifications. I think that was a positive attitude, and that it can be directed in other areas as well, especially on compliance. I think we can be able to see positive outcomes. And then and the issue of salaries, unauthorized expenditure. So the issue with unauthorized expenditure is that obviously DEFO has already filled positions in place. So when National Treasury put a ceiling in place, and then the budgeted amount for employee costs was not actually meeting the already warm bodies that are in place. So I think that's how the unauthorized expenditure came about. And also them operating in different multiple currencies. So when the rand actually weakens against the major currencies, then they are actually affected, as some of those movements are actually not budgetable. So their budget cannot cover their current expenses when it comes to employee costs. And then the skills in STM. I think the issue of skills, for me, actually, one can have all the qualifications that are there in the world, but without the right attitude and the drive to actually drive clean administration, then we will not actually see positive outcomes. So for me, the investigation that the department is actually engaging on, so this is an opportunity for them to actually self-diagnose and go back to each level within the unit and try to identify where are the gaps actually, and then what is it that they can do to assist the unit to make sure that we don't identify these non-compliances again going forward. I think that's an opportunity for the department to make sure that actually going forward, they use those reports to actually to their advantage to ensure that they address all those recommendations and implement controls in place to ensure that we don't have repeat compliance issues. So I think that's the issue in terms of the FPM skills. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Back to you.
Thank you. Very much, honorable members. Intrinsic about the report tabled before us by the AG is that every year finance in the department submits statements with errors. It has been a trend since we started as a portfolio committee. It's not for the first time they are sent back by the AG. Contracts are extended without authority. Which contracts are those? Poor performance and lack of capacity and knowledge of basic accounting standards. Seemingly, they are a problem in the department, and they are persisting. Because it's not for the first time that this happens. I remember last time the AG had findings that a finance department needs to be capacitated at the department. And I'm sitting here thinking, Honorable Deputy Ministers, what then becomes the role of the CFO if we have such shortfalls and challenges which are persisting in the department and that particular department, which is finance. The AG says that they visited half of the missions, and due to COVID, they could not reach to the rest of the missions. Now, what I want to understand, and I think the portfolio would want to understand, is how many missions that you were supposed to visit or reach, and what is half of that, because I think half it sounds like a blank check. So it's important that we understand what half is. You qualified because of receivables. Why? What is wrong with the suspense account where DELCO has stashed 188 million what is the worst case scenario? I think that also has to be explained to the portfolio. Is it because of the lack of capacity in basic accounting standards? Why is there such a finding? Is this a problem playing out in cash machines and at headquarters? And also record keeping in the cash machines and Delco seems like a persisting challenge. What do you say about this as the AG? How come Delco is not able to unpack also what 188 million is all about? Because here we are talking about the public money, and that accountability is something that we need to know and we need to understand so that we are able ourselves as the portfolio committee to make interventions out of an informed viewpoint. Mr. Makwetu contributed to our committee oversight visit, and because of his findings on discrepancies, for instance, in the New York pilot project, we were able to go and verify, and fortunately for us, we are happy that he left us aware that we verified his findings, and his findings were on point, and there is no land in New York, as he discovered with his team. It's something else that is there, which is a building, as opposed to what was required for the department to purchase. So we really need to have such clarities for us to adhere to your recommendations. And the issue of consequence management, which is raised here today, it's not raised for the first time, by the way. It's an issue which the AG recommended previously, and seemingly the department does not want to implement that. Then where does the teeth of the AG arise? Because there were findings and there were recommendations, and the department is not implementing those recommendations, then what begins to be the teeth of the AG on such instances? So so the unauthorized expenditure of 247 million is it because of the contracts which were extended without authority? What entails on that 271 irregular expenditure? If the AG can just unpack those things for us so that we are enlightened of what is it that has transpired in detail before you get to that particular a finding. So on the ARF, because Delco has not established the SATPA, which we have always wanted them to establish as a separate entity of the department, as opposed to the current situation of ARF, who does the financial statements of Delco, and who does the financial statements of ARF? Is it the same? Is it not the same office, the finance department of Delco? Who is the accounting authority there? Because I need to know something. I'm suspecting a lot. So I think if you give us an answer to that, we'll be able to make our own conclusions on what we think is happening in that particular department and arrive at a particular decision as intervention strategy. I see Honorable Bachmann is back, or his hand is no longer up. Honorable Mbanza is at the second bite. I don't intend to prolong the meeting. Honorable members, second. Yes, let me allow you.
Yes, Chair. No. Thanks very much. I want to build up on what you have also raised, because we also had the issue of the department wanting to write off this 187 million. But the question is that how can you write off something that you don't know? So we would really want to find out from the AG whether is that the procedure. People can't explain what is it as we are asking, but they want to write off it. But also, with due respect, I don't buy the story of the AG member, which says the reason why RRF is performing better is because of the size, and Deco is also big. You know, driving an aeroplane is the same. The principle is the same. Whether it's a Boo 707 or what, the principle is the same. So I think he must not come up with that argument, because to me it doesn't hold any water. The last one, Chair, the action plans that is recommended that the committee must oversee from the department. Are we going to be provided with that plan? We can't monitor and oversee something that we don't know. I'm appealing here from the AG, maybe to submit or provide that through your office, so that when we monitor something that we know. So that's my addition, Chair, as a second bite. Thanks very much.
Honourable members, the questions which were not answered by the AG, I see many hands up now. Is there questions which were not answered by the AG, or you just want to raise new questions? Honourable Zan?
Chair, my two questions were not answered on the recommendations of the unoccupied property, that's one, and what were the findings of the AG on the internal audit team's efficiency? And also, Chair, I did not honestly understand the response on the involvement of the Public Audit Amendment Act on when the response was saying that the AG has considered what they call a big irregular expenditure. Shouldn't the New York account or the incidents of New York be considered as a big irregular expenditure? Because what does the AG consider as a big irregular expenditure? What's the limit they have? Thanks, Chair.
AG?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Honorable Chair, I think the issue, I'll start with your questions, Honorable Chair, and I apologize for the questions that we couldn't address. We will address them just now. On the question of what is wrong with this suspended account at Chairperson, maybe let me, before I start there, I think you've asked the role of the CFO. I think the role of the CFO is to prepare credible financial statements. You know, I think it's as simple as that, and to ensure that there is discipline as far as financial management of the department is concerned. I believe as well the CFO oversees the supply chain management division at Terco. So I think that's a very important aspect, you know, for us to mention. I think we've also asked the number of machines that we've selected. I don't have the actual number that I have with me, but I think we were going to visit 22 machines. As far as assets are concerned, because what the department did, because we started visiting the machines in the interim, meaning that in the interim from November last year until end of Jan, we visited, I think, about 6 missions. But in those 6 missions that we visited, the department was still busy addressing the issues of assets. So they requested us not to verify assets in those missions. So we're planning then to do the asset verification, I think, on 16 missions. So when the lockdown came upon us, out of those 16 missions, we visited 8 missions. And then the remaining 8 missions were the ones then where we used the international audit firms to assist us. So I think that is you know, just in essence, in terms of what the numbers look like. But my team is here, so if there are numbers that I'm getting wrong, they will correct me on those particular numbers. I think, Honorable Chair, one other question that you've asked is what is wrong with this suspense account? Chair, this suspense account is allowed in terms of the rules of the accounting framework. However, any amounts that are disclosed in that account, they need to be supported by documents. So what is wrong with this account is that there are no supporting documents. So we cannot vouch for what is in that account. In essence, this is in simple terms, that is basically what is wrong in that account. If management can give us source documents so that we can be able to inspect them or corroborate with other information so that we can be able to provide our opinion on that account, we can be able then to know where maybe some of the amounts are supposed to be allocated. So that is basically, in simple terms, the challenge that we are having there. It's a limitation that has been imposed, and it causes uncertainty on our side. We end up not knowing in terms of what the issue is. And I think, Chair, you've asked the issue of record keeping. Indeed, that is the issue, that is the discipline of record keeping. And the cash machines may be involved as well as that. We are not aware because of this limitation that has been imposed on us as auditors by management. And how come they are not able to unpack the 188 million is because they cannot provide us with documents that is supporting these amounts of 188 million. That's why they cannot be able to unpack it to us. And indeed, this is public money. And I think it's important, Honorable Chair, that the officials, the accounting officer and management, they need to be asked these questions in terms of why they are not able to provide us with source documents on this amount. Your comments on the New York pilot project, Chairperson, are noted, and also the issue of consequence management. Indeed, the accounting officer has performed the investigations. What is important now is the issue of consequence management, because he needs to table what were the recommendations of those investigations, especially when it comes to those officials that are transgressing supply chain management legislation. So I think that's a very important aspect also to raise, to mention. And on the issue of, I think, GERCO has not established that bias. Indeed, this is a long outstanding issue. And also, Tabi, so please, when I'm finished with this, please address the issue of who prepares the financial statements between GERCO and ARF, whether it is the same officials. But the accounting authority for ARF is the Director General of the Department of International Relations. So is an accounting authority there. Honorable Mpanza, indeed, the writing off of this 187 million, I fully agree with you. How you need to write off something that you know, you know, especially because this is coming from the cash and bank, you know. So this is public money, so we need to be aware of it, you know, so that the decision, sorry, the decision when the department is making a decision to write it off, if it was to write it off, at least it's a conscious decision as well as auditors as well. We are aware in terms of what is it that is being written off. So we share the same sentiments there that you cannot write off something that you don't know. And I agree with you on the issue of ARF and DERCO, in as much as size and the complexity may be an issue, but I think the disciplines of financial management are very important between the two. I think we have seen ARF you know, having very good preventative controls, especially when it comes to, you know, when it comes to financial and performance management, you know, to ensure that they prepare credible financial statements. We have seen some challenges on ARF on the credibility of performance information, but the errors that we've identified, they did manage to correct them. So it's a matter of preventative controls and the discipline of financial management. That's the difference between the two entities, DERCO as well as ARF. Honorable Chair, can I request that the audit action plan, the accounting officer is the one that provides the audit action plan to the committee, because even ourselves, we have requested them to prepare that audit action plan so that they can provide it to us so that we can be able to monitor whether they are implementing it. So I am requesting that the accounting officer is requested to submit that audit action plan. The issue Honorable Nsane, the issue of internal audit. I think internal audit has played a very significant role in, especially in the area of asset management. They are providing assurance in the internal controls, in the internal control environment at DERCO. On the Public Audit Act, in terms of what is big expenditure, in the audit office, we are sitting with entities that has got irregular expenditure that is sitting in billions, in billions of rands. Not to say, for an example, the irregular expenditure that is sitting at DERCO is not significant. It is significant, but we're sitting with entities, for example, that are sitting with about 27 billion rands, you know, of irregular expenditure in that entity alone, you know. So those big ticketing items were the ones, Honorable Msane, that were prioritized. But because of the capacity issues and also the phase an approach then that the Auditor General has opted to follow, DERCO did not meet the criteria because the irregular expenditure that they've incurred is not as big as compared to other entities and departments, especially when it comes to SOEs. I think SOEs have got billions because of the magnitude of the budgets that they are having as well. So that is the issue there. And indeed, the issue of New York is a very big expenditure. You know, it's not like it's not a big expenditure, but we will see in terms of what then the decision of the Auditor General for the 2021 financial year, because that decision is still to be made. as far as other entities that were not covered in the 89 that the Auditor General chose to be there. I would request Tabiso to deal with the issue of the unoccupied properties and also deal with the issue of contracts, you know, these contracts that were extended, and also deal with the issue of there is another question that I'm missing now. Through your chairperson, I think, yeah, if Tabiso, you can deal with the residual questions, you know, that are not there, so that we don't leave anything unanswered, because we really would like to answer all the questions. But other colleagues can come in as well, just to close the gap as well. Through your chair.
Tabiso?
Thank you, Chair. On the issue of unoccupied properties, so these are properties abroad where the department are not actually utilizing them. So you find that in some instances, there's a delay in terms of when the some transferred officials are coming back home and when actually the department is sending a replacement. So you'll find that some properties actually remain unoccupied for like 8 months, 9 months, sometimes a year. So that's where the issue is. And some properties that are actually just empty that they are not actually using at the moment. And then on the issue of the financial statements, in terms of ARF does not have staff, so they've got staff seconded from the department. So the financial statements of ARF are prepared by the director who seconded to the entity, and they are actually reviewed by the CFO before submission to Audit Committee for final approval. And for the department, the financial statements are prepared by the directors in finance and the chief director in finance, and for the review of the CFO also before submission to audit committee for approval before submission to the auditors. Yeah, I think those are the questions. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable members, that's the end of our meeting. Let me take this opportunity and thank AG's team for their briefing and the presentation to the Portfolio Committee. It's quite enlightening, to say the least. We're going to take it from here as the Portfolio Committee. And it is true that the accounting authority must provide us with the audit action plan so that we are able to implement the recommendations by the AG, which are directed to us as the Portfolio Committee. And the only thing that can enable us to do that is to have the action plan before us so that we are also able to monitor what the department is doing. Before we close our meeting, I will allow Honorable Deputy Minister Kindis Mashiko to make an input. Over to you, DM.
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson. There's nothing that I can say but just to appreciate that the report of the Auditor General, and as a department, we'll be monitoring the accounting officer and the management to implement the recommendation as it has been presented. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, honorable members and Deputy Minister Candice Mashiko. The meeting is adjourned. We are going to meet in our next meeting as the Portfolio Committee members So our meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much, honorable members.